Okay. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Your plan is unfolding.
Your plan is unfolding.
My ears are open.
My ears are open.
My eyes are open. And my heart is perceiving. You're doing something tonight. Inside of me. Amen.
Amen.
This afternoon, well, I should say it started a couple days ago. He kept pressing in education versus revelation. Education versus revelation. And obviously, you know, it takes us to Genesis because you got to remember, Adam and Eve were to be dependent and they were to be in submission to the Father. That was the plan. They had been given a warning not to partake of a particular tree. And it was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. One tree. The knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. So it was kind of pressing in. But then the Lord kind of allowed me to listen to the author of the book, which is Rick Joyner. It was his first book. And he said, even now, that book is a bestseller. Because again, you have to remember, in my own understanding, I always thought that was the two trees. But really, the tree of life and light is Jesus. And that's what they were supposed to depend on. And they did for a while. Until the deceiver shows up. And the deceiver tempts Eve. And I just want to kind of read with you Genesis chapter 2. And I just want to go over just a few verses. Verse 15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." So he had a job, right? "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' And he formed Eve." Notice it's not create. He formed her. So, you know, the press was on because she was made from his original creation. He created them both male and female. Okay? And they were not divided at that point. They were one. The Lord divided them and formed her from him. So I think that's kind of important. Because when you have a marriage, you're to become one. You're not to be divided. And just a side note that was bouncing in my head. Today's average young people run from marriage. And the perverted people run to marriage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Perverting what you and I were brought up with. Mm-hmm. Perverting it to such a degree that it is ugly. And it is actually turning truth into a lie. So I kind of bring that in because that's also part of the tree. You see, the knowledge of evil is being reversed. And they're making it good. Supposedly. And he was reminding me that when I read that book, I don't know, 20-something years ago, it was such an eye-opener to recognize that my logic was part of my education. Everything that I think on is part of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. I was taught it from the time I was yea high, all the good and all the evil, never realizing that it was under the demonic tree. That whole education system that I was brought up in was all on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I watch today that if you want to be somebody and you want to do something awesome for God, you have got to get an education according to even the religious realm. Okay? So instead of concentrating on revelation, they concentrate on education. And if you haven't got all the right papers, you won't get the job. With God, if you've got all the right papers, he won't give you a job. That's truth. You have to unlearn what you've got in you because it's all from the wrong tree. Now, how do you unlearn it? By crying, screaming, yelling, jumping, dancing, you name it. I've done them all. Having fits, being angry, being upset, judging, condemning, you name it, I've tried it. None of it worked. The only thing that did work is when I took my knees. And I went down on my knees and I said, Papa, I don't know you. And he began to reveal his plan. And you know what? Most of it I rejected. It didn't fit my narrow-mindedness or my box, because that box was full of the tree of knowledge of good and of evil. And I reasoned things. And I made a huge mistake. Until he crashed me, and I shared that with you a little while ago, when I was full of all kinds of education through books, through even videos and so on and so forth, about all the religious things that now were being taught to me from the charism movement. That was in the late 70s. And in the beginning of the 80s, I then got involved with the Pentecostal movement. One after another, thinking, I finally got it. Just to learn later that it wasn't gold. It was straw.
Just another movement.
Right. And so I said to the Lord tonight, I don't know what you want me to say to these people. He says, why don't you just let my mouth be your mouth and I'll teach through you? Will you let me reveal to them through your mouth and what you live through so that they don't think that they're alone or believe that they're alone? Because you know what it is when you're alone and you feel alone and you want to give up and you get depressed and you get angry at yourself and others because of your status with God and man, because it doesn't matter. It's all a big package. And he began to let me know that he had given me solid gold when I needed it the most. And when he gave that to me, he gave it to me in such an impact that it changed my theology. Instead of reading another book, I began to search for his heart. You described his heart tonight, Darlene. You described it as the hiding place. When you decide to shut your mouth and shut your eyes and shut your ears, and you focus on him, he will reveal himself to you with signs and wonders. Will you understand them as he unloads them to you? The answer is no. You won't. You'll question. And if you didn't question, I'd say something is wrong with you. Because you will question, and you'll double check and triple check. And don't ever, ever quit on somebody else's revelation to you. You know why? It's got to be personal. Amen. It's got to be one to one. I'm not saying that others cannot make a deposit and let you confirm or reconfirm something to you. But don't trust somebody else's revelation until it comes from the Word. And it's verified in the Word. Once that verification comes and it's cemented in, then it's going to be yours. And you can take it to the bank with God. You know, when they realized that they were naked, which you can read, I'm not going to go into it. What happened? How come they never realized they were naked before?
They were covered by the glory of God.
They were covered and radiated the glory of God. And I shared with you guys about how my cat was what God used to show me. And you know, I believe that when you study Daniel, the last chapter, I believe it's Daniel 12, it said in the end days, some will radiate the Father's glory to such a degree that they will not need to wear clothes. Now you say, whoa, what are you getting at? When Jesus was on that mountain and he brought Peter, James, and John, he radiated the Father's glory. Did he need clothes? He didn't need a stitch of things on him. I'm not saying he was naked, but he didn't need it. You know why? Because the original man didn't need clothes. They even sewed fig leaves for themselves. Do you ever think about why the Lord killed an animal to dress them up? That was the first sacrifice. I would dare to believe that it was a lamb. That's why he dressed them both up. And he offered up the lamb to himself so that he could still put up with them. It probably was a bloody mess. And the temple in Jerusalem at the time of our Savior was a bloody mess. Did you ever go into a slaughterhouse? I have. I was brought up in them. My father was a butcher. My grandfather was a butcher. My brothers were butchers. Having my arms up to here as a child, making sure that the blood would not congeal, was my job. To pick up the blood in a 5-gallon pail, and you had to keep swirling it, because if you didn't, it would congeal and it wasn't usable. Did you ever try to get dry blood off your body? The only way it's going to come off is with living water. And I mean living water, cold, not hot water either. And I remember having my arm red up to the muscle area for days. Every time I would wash, a little bit would wear off. And God showed me this years and years ago, that I was taught to understand some of the power of that blood. It sticks to you. And it leaves a residue. A holy one, not a bad one. So you see, everything about you has got purpose. Everything you've lived in and with and experienced is all a part of who you are. And I was reminded that when you start looking at the very last book, because we're talking about the first book of the Bible. The last book is the revelation of Jesus, verse. You want to see Jesus? Read the Revelations. You'll see who he really is. And what he does. And what he's planning on. And what he's coming back for. And whom he's coming back for. And he's definitely preparing us. And some of us, if you're anything like me, have a problem with submission.
Amen.
Okay? You know, it's just the way it is. We have an agenda and we think we're right. Just like Adam and Eve thought they were right. And let's be honest. Do you think for one moment that the deceiver is still not on the job trying to deceive you and me? And some of it is from our training. So some of it is our soul, yes. And the Antichrist, yes, he's walking in your shoes. And sometimes you put a hat on him. Okay. And believing that our Savior, who began a good work, sent that menorah to us. Yeah. With seven spirits. And we've lived without them before our born again experience. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. How does that relate to me? The first time I heard about the Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might was under the anointing of a spiritual father who I'd already told you irritated me, Royal Cronquist. He prophesied over me. His very words were, "You carry the Spirit of counsel and might, and it's going to grow and it's going to mature." Well, that didn't fit my theology. I had never heard of the Spirit of counsel. So I had a consultation with him. And he said, "Kim, have you ever noticed why you're working at a church counseling people?" Oh. Oh. Why did God train you to go down to South Carolina to be trained so that you could counsel people in New England and wherever they would call from? I said, "Oh." He says, "In power. The power of the Holy Spirit works through you." And that I had to admit, because by that time I had had enough years that I knew he was right. But I had never heard that this was a byproduct from the menorah. That it was visible in a tangible way. And Israel walked right by him. Never saw him. Never understood him. In fact, they crucified him. I remember saying to him, "How long did it take before you were able to put this before me?" You see, he was a product of the Jesus movement in the 60s. He formed an awesome church in LA on the beach. The power and the fire of God would come down, and the fire department would come to put the fire out, and all the firemen got saved. That was his beginning. At one point, talk about being tested. He had tangible value of over $2 million, and they sued him for it. The church leaders sued him for it. And him and his wife gave it all away in submission.
And then they lived in a little mobile home in Washington State. They lived there for the rest of their lives. He was able to survive it. She had a terrible time because she blamed him. I could continue to tell you all the details of how and why she struggled. She struggled because of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And she medicated her problem. And boy, was I familiar with that. You see, he lived a life for the rest of his earthly days of declaring the word of God over his wife, and the challenge continued. You say, well, why are you telling me this? Because I believe God gave him that same word he gave you, Gail. My grace is sufficient. Do I really want to digest that word? As you continue in his grace and he develops it, you get better at it. Your struggles are not going to be quite as long in duration because your overcoming abilities are being fine-tuned. In my discussion with someone today, I shared about my mouth and how I had to train my mouth to shut some of it down because I was recreating the opinions of people in my life. And the opinions of people are a dime a dozen, especially if they're on an emotional trip. They're going to say things to you, and you will end up agreeing with them unless you cancel it. Or speak death to it, or don't agree. I remember one particular time, someone that I loved said a few words, and boy, they were super destructive. And I said, I don't agree with your opinion, but you have a right to it, but I don't agree with it. And they looked at me because it was the first time that I stood my ground. And the person walked away with a huff. And to be honest with you, it looked more like the Puff the Magic Dragon. Yeah. That kind of anger is visible. How many of you have ever seen that kind of a huff and a puff? Okay, if you stay with the opinion of that individual, what are you going to be thinking about yourself down the road? What are you going to believe with? And whom are you going to believe with? The opinions of these dragons? Come on. I know this is serious business, but you can giggle a little bit. Yeah. Have you ever been the dragon? Yes. Yeah. That's not any prettier. Is it?
No.
Brr! So what am I saying? The knowledge of good and evil is operating in all of us to a degree. Less than it was yesterday, and I'm getting better today and tomorrow. I'm waiting upon more of the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Yes, counsel and might is increasing. Knowledge of the Lord and the fear of the Lord is also maturing and getting stronger. And the spirit of the Lord is life and life eternal. It doesn't stop. Just close your eyes right now. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can cement this truth in. That they will start looking to you for more revelation than they've ever had before. And I'm asking for the fire of your spirit to really penetrate the areas where they've been damaged and bruised and insulted and settled with it and agreed with it. But tonight, Lord, let there be a new beginning where they can say no to these opinions of men or opinions of women under an anointing of rage and anger and discord and speaking words that brought death instead of life. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I know you can counsel me. And you can comfort me. And I need it.
I need
wisdom and understanding.
I need
counsel and might.
I need
knowledge
and the fear of the Lord.
And Holy Spirit, I need you more than ever. Don't let me go. And I trust your grace. To be empowering me, to go as deep with you that you have already prepared in the books of heaven, what I'm to be, what I'm to become, and no failures in my past can hold me back from completing my journey to the full. In Jesus' name, I pray.